ninth chapter of John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Amen. Everybody say, I went and washed, and I received sight. Amen. You may be seated. There's nothing more powerful than your personal testimony. I can preach, any preacher can preach, and God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. But that's not the only thing He's chosen. Amen. Don't get to thinking that you can only get saved by listening to a preacher preach. Hey, you can get saved listening to somebody testify too. Amen. Don't limit God's ability to save people. You can get saved listening to the radio. You can get saved taking a shower. You can get saved just sitting at your house, reading your Bible and starting to think about the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it all starts with believing. Now, believing is not salvation. There is a blindness that comes to many people who get so excited at the point of believing, their life is changed as a result of it, and they get excited because things are always different when you go from unbelief to belief. It's always better. Once you start believing in God, that is like turning something on that can't be turned off. Because once you start really believing He exists, if you step out of darkness into that much light, you'll never want to go back to darkness again. And you'll never go back if you really believe, because just at the point of really believing that He exists, there is a change takes place in your life. It is not, and I want to say this clearly so that everybody in internet land and everybody here and anybody you may know that may stumble across a conversation when you tell them what I said, at that point, you are not saved. And the tragedy is that many people, because there is a change, and because it's somebody maybe has handed them a tract, or told them to repeat a few words, and that's all you have to do, and you're saved, they have gone from the moment of the change from darkness to some light. And at the suggestion of traditional people who have all these ideas without looking at really what's available, you might say it's the blind leading the blind. It's people walking in darkness, having found some light, leading others who have walked in darkness, who have found some light, and because of what they have found being some light, they think, man, it just can't get any better than this. But the problem is, after they get to that point and they don't get to the point of that personal contact with Jesus Himself, which can come through reading the Word or hearing somebody that preaches the truth and not tradition preaching the word, or somebody with a personal testimony that has learned where to go and what to do according to what Jesus has instructed. Amen. When they find these people, they can really find out how to be saved. But we're living in a world today filled with people walking in darkness who think they're saved. They're blind. And they've been blind ever since they thought that they were born anew. You might say they've been blind from birth in thinking that they're born again, thinking that they're living for God. There are many scriptures in the Bible, and they all work together. You can't take one scripture out by itself and say, that's the one I want to believe. Recently, somebody, when I got a little bit strong in the service talking about some things and posted it on the internet, and thousands of people saw it, and many rejoiced and others were offended, a person called and said, well, you believe it that way and we believe it this way. And so, you know, you're a person of God and we are people of God, and you believe it that way and we believe it this way. My friends, I've got to tell you, it's not a thing of we believe it one way and you believe it another and therefore we're all saved. I'm sorry, that won't work. We believe the Word of God, and that is the way. And if you believe anything other than the Word of God, that is not the way. We can't go to the church of our choice and be saved. We have to go to the church of God's truth and God's choice and God's place where you can find the plan that will save your soul. And it will not happen taking just part of the plan and saying, that's all there is to it. That's all I've got to do. I'm saved. Cornelius, in the book of Acts, was a believer. He was such a believer that he gave large offerings. He helped the poor. He prayed, and his prayers were so powerful that they went up as a memorial before God. And he still needed to be saved. And that was in the same church that we're part of, by the way. I'm talking about the time when you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. He just didn't know he could get in on all this. And God knew some things that he wanted to teach him. If it were not important, I don't believe that we'd have the words in the Bible concerning how the Lord gave a lesson to Simon Peter while he was trying to take a nap and taught him in a strong lesson about four-footed beasts and different types of animals that Peter had always thought you're not supposed to eat that kind of stuff, you know. There were some things there that he'd been taught under the law as a Jew, which he was, that we don't do that. That's just not what we do. We're Jews. We don't do that. But the Lord himself instructed him, things have changed now. God hasn't changed, but the law has been nailed to the cross. And there is a plan of God that includes that which you may consider to be unclean. What God has cleansed, it is cleansed. And what God has changed, it is changed. And what God has said, it must be followed. And so he beckoned to Peter in this vision that he had, slay and eat. And Peter was a little confused, but he obeyed the Lord anyhow. And this was as a result of a praying man saying in so many words, Lord, show me what you'd have me to do. You know, whatever it takes, I'm willing to serve you. A Gentile man, not part of those Jews that had received all these promises and not part of that group that received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but a praying, devout man who truly believed in God. But when Peter opened his mouth in his household and started speaking to him concerning the name of Jesus and the power that's in that name of Jesus, while he spoke to Cornelius and his family and his friends around, the Holy Ghost fell upon those people and they started speaking in other tongues. Now, if it were not important for you to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, I don't believe that would even be in the Bible, because there were a lot of things that had to happen for this to take place. There had to be a thing of somebody being religious, devout, and everybody thinking that person's so holy he can't be wrong, gathering some people around and say, come on over, God's going to send somebody to show us what we ought to do. And there had to be that breaking down of prejudice and that taking away of the way it's always been and establishing a new and living way for Peter even to be converted, that it's okay to go across the tracks and preach to those kind of people. But he went in obedience to God. And by the way, the only reason this blind man had his eyes open because he went was because he went in obedience to God. And the only way you'll ever get your eyes open will be because you will go in obedience to God. Otherwise, we're all destined to walk in darkness for the rest of our lives. And if we think we've made it and we have not fulfilled all that God has told us to do, it's going to be a sad ending, which won't be the end. It'll be the continuation of agony and struggle and worse than we've ever known. And we don't want that. You know, I am not a troublemaker. It's not my intention to get people stirred up and mad at me on the internet. I love internet ministry. But I'm not here for you. I'm here for God. In other words, I am here for you in another sense, but I'm not here because you put me here, and I'm not here because you are telling me how to do things. And I'm not here just to please my friends that I love. I am here to please God who loves us all, and I'm called to preach, not just me, but a whole lot of other people around this world are called to preach. At the same time, we're called to love. And we're called to have patience. And we're called to exercise wisdom and understanding. And to be nice to you and be graceful to you. And look at the examples of Jesus, how he dealt with the multitudes. People of all nationalities, people of all kinds of afflictions, people with all kinds of things wrong with them. He healed them all. He fed them all. He loved them all. But he still needed some disciples to learn from him what they all needed to learn that he would have them to do. Hallelujah. Look, you can get healed 1,000 times and end up lost. You can have miracles happen in your life and end up lost. Amen. Amen. Because God did not choose through the fact that you got a miracle in your life that you are saved as a result of that. But he uses miracles and he uses healings to bring people to the knowledge that there is a better way. There is a God who answers prayer. There is a God who will heal you when you're sick. Amen. He probably heals more sinners than he does church people, because he's wanting them to find out there is power in the name of Jesus. He's wanting somebody to be there to lead them forward and say, there's more light for you than you've ever known before. You think you've seen light at the point of believing. Wait till you see the great light that'll shine in your life in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You will realize that that little light was part of a greater light. The further you go in this thing, the more you realize the name of Jesus is sufficient if you can get in on it. But if you don't get it applied to your life in baptism, you're missing out on God's plan of where you can be washed and set free. Go and wash. Go and wash. That's what Jesus said to the blind man. And it wasn't just so that somebody could write it down and say, you know what he said to him? Go and wash in the pool of Siloam and have a nice history lesson about how he was, you know, he went to that certain pool and he washed there, and there must be something maybe in that pool that caused it to happen. No, that's not what it was. What opened that man's eyes was obedience to the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. A lot of people walking around blind today, they will debate and they will argue and they will try to convince you that it's okay to be their way and you don't have to do it God's way. Amen. And so, they're going to continue to be blind. Some of them are your relatives, some of them are your friends. Some of them are people that we love. Some are people that we have worshipped with in various places. But the only hope that they will ever be saved is if they get their eyes opened, because they're still blind. If they think they're saved without following God's salvation plan. Man has salvation plans, but they just don't work. They just don't work. Somebody say, all you have to do is just read John 3:16, do what that says, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Only they usually quote it, shall not perish. You see, right there it is. You won't perish if you believe in Him, and that's all you got to do. So just say, I believe, and oh, hallelujah, you're saved, and you can't be lost. And you go right on sinning, wanting to be saved, thinking you're saved, and then some holy roller like me appears to be a nut before you, right in your face, saying, you ain't saved yet. Not because we hate you. Not because we have anything against you. It's just that we see you wandering in your darkness, and we realize that according to the Word of God, you still need to be sent, and you still need to wash to have the miracle of your eyes truly being opened so that you can truly be saved. Thank you, Jesus. So you can have the testimony. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. How did it happen to you? A man that is called Jesus, anointed clay by the name of Peter. Amen. And through that experience of me finding out what God had anointed that clay to say, I was commanded to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And I went and I washed, and now I see. Hallelujah. Is that your testimony? You out there, wherever you may be, is that your testimony? Are you having a hard time living for God? You can't keep from cussing, can't keep from smoking, can't keep from drinking, can't keep from running around on your companion, you can't keep from all this stuff you've always done, but still you think you're saved? Why don't you try obedience? Why don't you try to stop your arguing and just say, Lord, whatever you'd have me do, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to tell you, those people who can do this, once you're able to say, okay, Lord, nevertheless, at your word, once you're able to say, I'm willing to go even if I can't see. You see, this blind man, on his way to obey Jesus, still could not see. He didn't run to the pool of Siloam watching for the first time all the trees and the birds flying. He didn't see any of that. He was still in total darkness, but in obedience to Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to figure this out before you get in on it. God doesn't require us to understand it all, and He leaves us in our darkness until we have obeyed Him. But it's something about believing His Word and not bucking up against it and not being, you know, so stubborn that you can't obey Him. There's nothing I know supposed to be more ridiculous in the eyes of those watching than a man spitting on the ground, taking that clay and putting it in a poor old blind man's eye socket. And say, now go wash it off. Seems kind of silly, doesn't it? How would you like somebody to do that to you? If you were blind, and nothing in the world gave you any kind of hope whatsoever, and if you were talking to somebody who seemed to have the power, I'm sure the blind man had heard there's a man among us who heals the sick, opens deaf ears. It's been reported by some that he even opened blinded eyes. I'm sure that wasn't the first time he ever heard about Jesus. Jesus was the talk of the town. Jesus was the one that everybody was upset about, or either believing him or not believing him. Some wanted to kill him, others wanted to follow him. Hallelujah. There were some criticizing their loved ones for getting mixed up with that group. There were others said, I don't care what you say, he fed me when I was hungry, he healed me when I was sick. And never spake a man like this man, so I'm going to stick with him. Hallelujah. Even those following him, followed him in darkness because they didn't know where he was taking them. They didn't know exactly where their meals were going to come from. They didn't understand a lot of things, but there was something about Jesus. There was something, and there's still something about Jesus. There's something about Jesus that makes you want to drop what you're doing and just follow Him. Because He still heals when you're sick. He still lifts you up when you're down. He still opens your eyes when you're blind. He still gives you the ability to hear when you've never understood. Hallelujah. One of the blind men back in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me that I may be able to see. And Jesus healed him and he could see again. This particular blind man, he was known by a lot of people to just be the blind man that sits and begs. There's a lot in this lesson if everybody can get a hold of it. Even if you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you may still be a blind person sitting and begging. But you might have forgotten what you got, and that might be the reason why you're doing that. Look, I'm going to tell you, when you got Jesus in your life, you got the one who can give you anything. And He can do anything. And He can take you anywhere. There is not any problem He can't solve. There's not any need He can't fulfill. There's not any desire that He can't completely fulfill that desire. There is nothing God can't do. And see, we just go through the motions. We go through church. We expect to have church. We expect the testimonies. And I'm not criticizing. That's the way it's supposed to be. God wants us to have order. He wants us to meet together. He wants this habit to be a good habit that we enjoy the rest of our lives. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. But once in a while, in the middle of our reading the Bible, playing the guitar, operating the cameras, children singing, somebody starts opening their eyes a little bit. Because something happened. In the middle of a service, Jesus said, lift your hand. And rather than sit there saying, I'm too tired, they lifted it. And then something happened as they started, even though they didn't realize they were going somewhere with this. Pretty soon another hand was up. And then pretty soon they were standing up. What was happening? It started with obedience and it ended with victory. Hallelujah. That's the way God always works. He starts with obedience. Adam, do not eat of that fruit. If you do, you'll die. If Adam would have just obeyed the Lord, we wouldn't have even, if nobody had ever sinned, we would have never needed a Savior. Jesus wouldn't have been born in Bethlehem. Now let me run that by you one more time. I never heard of that before. If Adam, and if nobody after Adam, had ever sinned, there would never have been the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The only reason Jesus came to this earth was to seek and save sinners. Hallelujah. Because if there had been no sin, there would have been no need of a Savior. Let me tell you something else. There's never going to be a prayer meeting in heaven. If I don't get you one thing to get you totally confused, maybe something else will. If you aren't listening, you may not even understand anything about what I'm saying right now. Because I just got through saying, if something hadn't happened, we would have never had Jesus on the earth. And then I said, and nobody's ever going to pray in heaven. Wow, what kind of preacher is this? Say such things. Well, what are you going to need in heaven that you're going to have to pray for? Oh, God, heal my body. That prayer won't work up there. No need. If you do it, well, why pray like that? Oh, God, get the devil off my back. He won't be there. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm getting old and feeble. No, you won't be getting old and feeble. Oh, I got this old arthritis. It just bothered me. Lord Jesus, help me. And you crawl up to the throne. You think that's going to happen. And you get down on your face and say, Jesus. That's not going to be any prayer meeting in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 You might say, well, I don't know what I'll do with all my time. Then all I do is agonize and hurt. Let me tell you what you do with all your time. You're not going to hurt anymore in all your time. You're not going to cry anymore in all your time. You're not going to die anymore in all your time. You're not going to suffer hunger and thirst in all your time. You're not going to have a hard time paying your bills in all your time. Praise God. Don't get sad because heaven sounds boring to you. The Word of God says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God hath prepared for those that love Him. So imagine anything you want to about heaven, but it's better than that. Hallelujah! It's greater than anything you can think of. It's better than anything you've ever imagined. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those that love Him. Praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, God was okay without man. And anything God wanted to create, He could create and He could do anything. And whatever He said for His creation to do, it would do it. The sun has never disobeyed God. I'm talking about the sun that you look out and you see the bright sun shining. That sun has been commanded to do what it's supposed to do. And science can try to figure it all out, how does all this stuff work, and they figured out a lot of things, and they're able to make a lot of things that man can, as a result of what's already created, a lot of tools, a lot of toys, just a lot of things that we all enjoy, as a result of the accuracy and the perfectness of our Creator, who knows how to put things together that'll last a long, long time. Why? Because they can't disobey God. There are principles that can never disobey God. There are things happening in all creation that are happening because God told it to happen. Then He created all of us slobs. We can disobey God. He created man to be in the image of God. In the image of God created He man. And what does He do? Goofs up. And now we're all affected by it. Like I said before, I went on my trip. There are no good people in the world. The Bible says so. You might think of Uncle Harry or Aunt Susan. They're good. Well, they might have done a lot of good things. You know, I get emotional. I can tear up when I see somebody helping somebody else. That's good. It's good to see people help people. I like the Christmas season. I don't like some of the things I see at the Christmas season, but I enjoy the joyful sound of Christmas carols. I enjoy seeing drunk people singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The earth is your king." Hallelujah. I enjoy, no matter when, you know, whatever it is that gets them to talk about Jesus, that's fine with me. I love to hear them say Merry Christmas to one another. There's nothing wrong with that, considering Christ in a special day. But if that's all you ever do, that ain't enough. Celebrating Christmas just ain't enough. Going to church on Easter and Christmas is not enough. Going to church every day is not enough. You can't be good just because you go to church. You can't be good just because you believe in God. You can be changed from where you were to where you are now by believing, but you can't be good. My dad had a problem with a son that couldn't be good. You'd never guess who he was. Now, son, we're going to go see these people, and when we go in their house, I want you to be good, okay?
Okay, Daddy.
Big container of buttons. First thing I did, I climbed up there and I reached to see what was in it. Buttons went everywhere. Son, be good. And I spilled the buttons. Daddy, can I go out and play? Just don't get into anything that you don't know what you're doing. You know, keep your hands off of stuff. What do? Go straight out to the garage. Put my hand on something I don't know anything about. Reach up, pull on this big old handle on this big old iron-looking contraption that's taller than I am and rock it back and forth, rock it to see what it'll do. Just rock it. It's heavier than I am, about 5 times heavier than I am, taller than I am, wider than I am, and I'm just a rocking back and forth. After Dad said, "Son, be good, and don't you put your hand on anything that you don't know what it is." And after a while, the thing rocked one time too many toward me, a little further than I meant for it to. Down I went with that thing on top of me. Dislocated my hip where I couldn't walk. Put me in the hospital for several days. And as I was recovering for several weeks, the only way I could walk was like this. I don't remember how long, probably 2 or 3 months. That's the only way I could walk. Why? Because I didn't obey, that's why. I won't tell you. Most people that call themselves Christians are just walking like this. Almost everybody in religion is walking like this. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I said the sinner's prayer. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just going, oh, follow me. Follow me. All you got to do is accept Christ. I'm telling you, I got tired of walking like that. Aren't you getting tired of thinking you're saved and you can't keep from sinning more or less every day? Is anybody out there that is open enough to more Word of God that you'd be willing to consider that there's power in the name of Jesus? There's power in the Holy Ghost? There is an experience in the Word of God available for you and your children and to all that are afar off. But you need to try to be good. And don't touch something you don't know anything about. How you do that? You got to get Jesus in your life. And He touches things that He knows all about. Amen. You can only do that through obedience. In your blindness, in your darkness. Admit that you don't know where you're going. And you don't really know for sure that you're doing it right. Because He can take people that can be honest, who think they're saved, and He can still save you. I thank God for everybody that's ever confessed that Jesus is Lord and Savior. I thank God for everybody that's ever said, "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." For every person that's ever lifted their hand and said, "Yes, I accept Him into my life." For everybody that ever read a tract and signed on the dotted line and read in the back, "Now you're saved." I thank God for all of those people who have come to the point of a decision. But the responsibility lies on the shoulders of we who have gone and washed, and now we see, to tell you when you ask, "Why are you happy? Why are you so free? Why are you so jubilant? Why do the Pentecostals jump and shout and act so happy all the time? Why do y'all get emotional? Why do some of you cry and laugh at the same time? Why don't you cuss anymore? Why don't you go to those old rough-looking movies anymore? Why don't you get mad and beat people up like you used to? Why don't you get drunk every night anymore? Because I went and washed. Because a man called Jesus told me to go and wash. And I went. And now I see." Oh, come on now. Tell us how it really happened. What are you on? What are you doing that makes you act this way? All I can tell you is, once I was blind, but now I see. A man called Jesus came and did that that nobody thought to be proper. And I went and I washed, and now I do see. Now tell us the truth. We don't want to hear that. Tell us what really happened. You read this ninth chapter of John, and that's what happens over and over. People come and say, "Now tell us how it happened." Well, all I know is a man is called Jesus. Put clay in my eyes made out of spit and dirt and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I went and I washed it, and now I see. Now tell us the truth. Praise God. They went to his mom and his dad said, "Would y'all tell us what happened to your son? Because all he wants to talk about is Jesus did it. Jesus did it." We know Jesus couldn't do that. You know, a lot of people claim they know so much about Jesus. These parents said, as they were afraid they might get thrown out of the, you might say, out of the church as we would see it. They didn't want to offend these folks, so they said, well, he's of age, you'll have to ask him. But these people said, well, we know this Jesus is a sinner. See, people think they know so much about Jesus. They didn't know beans about Jesus when they said that. When they said, we know Jesus is a sinner, that's a dead giveaway. They were more blind than the guy that just got healed. Hallelujah. You'll find a lot of people that know all about how you need to get saved. But what you need to do is have an experience of your own. And let Jesus open your blinded eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Let Jesus set you free. And it'll always come through obedience. And you will be the one that's able to enlighten somebody else with a testimony. And people will hear you sometimes better than they'll hear the preacher. Sitting at a restaurant. So tell me why you're like you are. When they start asking these questions, probably usually almost always, because somewhere in your life they see hope for themselves. When you pass by, it's the same as when Jesus passed by for the blind man. Hallelujah. When you said a few words of comfort, they've already heard about you. Hey, they know we're here. They know we're different, but they know we're happy. They know that we have something about us that causes us to have confidence when we walk and when we talk. And when they meet us on the street, they like us. And they want to know more about us, but they don't know how to ask. And they don't know how to really, get in on this. And they're just waiting on you to do something or say something. All they can do is try to see if there's something wrong with you. And if somebody suggests to them, well, let me tell you, they're fanatics or they're a part of some off-brand religion or a cult. They'll listen to that because they don't know any better. Some of your parents, some of your loved ones think you're mixed up and you're brainwashed. And you've gotten to some old crazy mixed up religion. They think this is nuts. But when they get to trying to figure it all out and saying, well, we know this can't be of God, for whatever reason they come up with, we just keep smiling, keep expanding, keep having miracles, keep shouting victory. In our worst days, we can still say hallelujah and smile about things. When everything's falling apart and going wrong, we're able to kick up our heels and dance. Hallelujah. Without having to get drunk. Thank you, Jesus. What is it with these people? Tell us where you're coming from. What happened to you? How are you this way? We've already heard all that stuff about Jesus' name and Holy Ghost. Now tell us the truth. All I can tell you is I repented of my sins and I got baptized in Jesus' name. A man that's called Jesus passed by. His name was Marvin Rutledge. And he talked to me and told me what I needed to do in order to be able to receive my sight. And I went and I washed and now I see. And I'm sorry you don't, but I'm saying you can. Hallelujah. If you're out there on the internet, you don't understand. That's because you're blind. But you can come to this light. How? How can I do that, you may ask? Obedience. That's all stand. Obey Acts 2:38. And quit believing all the lies that you can find salvation somewhere else. Hallelujah. You can't enjoy John 3:16 until you've had the experience of Acts 2:38, which is promised to you if you will obey. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't take much light to drive away a lot of darkness. Just a little bit. Just a healing. Just a touch. Just an experience of God doing something for you that nobody else could have done. That gives you enough light so you can see where you're walking. It gives you a lamp to your feet and a light on your pathway so you can take the next step. God doesn't ever leave anybody that believes on Him totally in the dark. He gives you light at the point of your belief to be able to find where that light is coming from. And by faith, if you will go forward, even if you don't understand it and follow this light, you'll find the true light that lights the heart of everyone that comes into the world and offers every one of us a chance to have the great light that will shine throughout eternity where there's no need of the sun. There'll come a time when the sun's going to go out and hell's going to be turned on, and Jesus is going to shine throughout eternity for those who went and washed.
I've had problems.
Lord, we love you today.
None to compare.
Praise God. Bring out of darkness.
The problem.
Thank you, Jesus.
At the cross.
Oh, hallelujah, glory.
I've had some pain. But oh, what pain Jesus suffered for the lost. Before there was birth, before God made earth, He provided for you and me. From the foundation of all creation, God saw Calvary. In the beginning, a lamb was slain. In the master plan, His mind conceived our human need before He made a man. From the world's foundation, hope of all creation, leading Lamb of Calvary. He knew He would have to suffer when He created you and me. In the beginning, a lamb was slain. In the master's plan, His mind conceived our human need before He made a man. From the world's foundation, hope of all creation, leading Lamb of Calvary. He knew He would have to suffer when He created you and me.
See, Jesus knew when He made man, there was all the greatness that He would put into man and all the likeness and attributes of what God is all about, that man would have the ability to go against his Creator. So God provided a Savior to take care of that even before Adam breathed the first breath of his life. Hallelujah. Because God knows the end from the beginning. He knows where you are. He knows what you're all about. He knows where you're coming from. And He knows right now, in your darkness, that He can just say, let there be light. And you will be walking in the light. No matter how dark it may seem. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what you've done, no matter how chaotic your state of existence may be right now. Amen. Let there be light. Thank you, Jesus. And there was light. Tonight I preached light unto you. Now don't go to your blind friend to try to figure it all out. Just get in that water and get baptized in Jesus' name. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And why wouldn't you want it?
It's important to me that I'm saved.
Oh yeah.
It's important to me that I'm saved.
It's important to me
that my soul is set free.
Oh,
it's important to me that I'm saved.
It's important to me that my soul is